Blog Talk Radio.
Embrace Today is brought to you by Whole House Ministries. Host Apri Curry will inspire listeners to embrace their today with hope and expectation, with a focus of bringing about freedom, healing, and restoration through the Word of God. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
Good morning. Welcome to Embrace Today. I am Montrell Curry, your guest host for today, and I'd like to welcome you all to this wonderful day that the Lord has made. Today, we will be talking about connecting with your own. And there's a few things that when we talk about connecting with your own that I have for you all so that we may be able to get a better understanding of what it is that we are to do when we're trying to connect with our own. As we go throughout life, there are things, a lot of things that we actually get ready for. Some of those things are work. Some people spend hours upon hours maybe getting ready in front of a mirror or just grooming themselves in the shower. Some people might even get ready to watch television shows or get ready to go to the movies by getting all dressed up and making sure that they have their tickets purchased, making sure that they, some people might even be trying to sneak stuff into them. Not that I condone that, but, you know, to each his own. I know one thing that my wife and I like to do is we like to scan through all of the recordings that we have for the television shows that we like to watch together. And that's one thing that we do to get ready for whatever television show that we might be watching. Other people have hobbies that they get ready for. They're getting ready to go on a fishing trip or that they're going camping. There's various things that you have to prepare for and get ready for when you're going on those hobbies. One thing that my son does when he prepares for a baseball game and getting ready for a baseball game is he stretches and they warm their arms up and they do batting practice and that whole nine. So there are various things that you can get ready for. One thing that we get ready for as well is being able to go to school. Some people have to make sure that they have all their homework ready. They have to make sure that they have the papers that they may have typed up the night before or even weeks before. Even right now, when I was preparing for this actual show, there was things that I had to do in order to get ready for it. Now I want to ask you the question, are you ready to connect with your own? Like what Luke speaks about in chapter 4, which is going to be our title text for today. Before we start, let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come into your presence. Lord, we thank you for being with us as we slept last night. Lord, we thank you even now, Lord, as we're preparing to dive into your word, Lord, to see what it is that you would have for us to do. Lord, we thank you. We need you. We love you. I ask that I be minimized so that you may be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, we have Jesus who just came from, and earlier in this chapter, he just got done being tempted. And now he's entering into the Jewish synagogue where he grew up as a child, learning and watching others and so on. So I'm going to start at verse 14 and then I'll work my way through and then we'll circle back around and dive into it verse by verse. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So, as we think about those verses that I just read, we want to know how to connect with our own. Well, first, we got to know how to return. If you notice in chapter 14, it says, "Then Jesus ordered him." No, it says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him." So he knew how to return. He had just got done being tempted in the wilderness by the devil. So he was ready. He was in the power of the Spirit. He had God's Spirit with him, which that enabled him to be strengthened. And by him being strengthened, he was able to take on the things that the devil was trying to throw at him. He had a connection with God. And then you notice that he still went to the synagogue on Sabbath after defeating evil. That says a lot, because a lot of times, I know me for myself, there's been times when I'm thinking that I'm doing things in my own power. And I begin to think that, okay, I had this victory over something that I may have been struggling with. And I continue to move forward in other things, and I may not continue to go back to where I need to go to return to be able to gain more strength for my daily struggles that I sometimes, well, not sometimes, that I have on a daily basis. So Jesus knew that despite him being strengthened, despite him having the Spirit with him, he still returned to the Jewish synagogue to be able to get more insight and be able to be strengthened more on that daily bread that we need. And like I said, far too often, sometimes we get to thinking that we can do things on our own, and that's not the case. When we're going throughout life, we have to make sure that we stay connected with God by doing the things that make us be in communion with him, make us be in relationship with him. We have to make sure that we're studying. We have to make sure that we're praying. We have to make sure that we're meditating so that we're able to do all that God has called for us to do. See, Jesus, just like he returned, he knew how to return, and it was with that power. And like I said, when we start thinking that it's us, then that's when stuff start getting messed up, because we start allowing ourselves to lead us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. And every time we allow ourselves to lead us, I know for me, everything always end up getting messed up. And then I have to go back and repent, when in the first place I should have just been allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, because he's not going to lead me in the wrong direction. Sure, it may be uncomfortable at times when he is leading us, but just know that it's working for the betterment of the things that we go through on a daily basis. And it's helping us to overcome the struggles that we may have as we're moving in and about throughout our days. So not only did he know how to return, but look at verse 16. It says, "He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read." So he knew how to go back. He went back to his hometown. So not only did he know how to return, which was in the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew how to go back. And that's important, too, because he grew up in the synagogue. He grew up attending the services in the synagogue. That was where he gained his knowledge and where he was prepared for the devil's temptations that happened early on in this chapter. And sometimes we also got to know how to go back. We got to know how to go back to our roots, to the things that our grandparents and our mothers and our fathers and our aunts and our uncles got to know how to go back and grab those things and be able to compare those things to our life, not compare those things, apply those things to our lives today. All of that wisdom that we gained when we were when we were growing up. I know I talk a lot about the things that my grandmother said when we were growing up. And for the life of me, not until I got older, I didn't realize the reason why she said some of the things she said. But as I go back to thinking about those things that she said when I was a child, she always said that I'm not doing nothing but shortening my days. When I go back and I think about that, I realize every time I even want to think about saying something slick or something smart to my mom or my dad, I'm realizing that when I don't honor them, when I don't respect them, that I'm not doing nothing but shortening my days. And that is a biblical principle, and that's something that we have to understand, that sometimes we got to go back and we got to think about the things that our parents taught us, think about the things that our pastors taught us. And we have to make sure that when we're thinking about those things, that we're able to apply those things to our lives today, because just as Jesus went back, we have to go back as well. Another thing that my grandmother used to always say was, she used to always say, you have to put God first. And I know that sometimes we may think that, you know, I have all of this stuff going on. I got this stuff at work going on. I got these bills going on. How am I going to be able to stay focused on the things that I need to do and still have time to worship God and still have time to study and still have time to meditate? Well, when you put God first, all of those things will fall into place. But it's when you start trying to do things out of God's will and do things out of order is when things start messing up. And you end up having to go back with your head bowed saying, you know what, God, I messed this up. Can you please fix it? And then we get in that posture of wanting to be embarrassed and ashamed because we have to come back and ask for forgiveness and ask for help and stuff like that, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if we would start off in the right way, then we would not end up having to go back feeling ashamed, feeling embarrassed, and feeling all those other emotions that come along with us having to go back and say, God, please forgive me for this. God, please forgive me for that. So just remember that you have to know how to go back. You have to know how to go back to your roots. You have to know how to go back to the things that you gained your foundation from. So if you look at verses 17 through 19, it says, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. So not only do we have to know how to return, not only do we have to know how to go back, we also have to know our purpose. See, Jesus knew his purpose. He knew the reason why God had sent him to this earth. He knew the reason why he had to do the things that he did. And he proclaimed it right there in verse 19, well, starting in verse 18. See, when you know your purpose, you will focus on it and make your life mission just like Jesus did. Make it your life mission just like Jesus did. When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So Jesus had a plan. Jesus had put his plan into motion. He already knew that he was anointed and he had came to proclaim the good news to the poor. He had came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So when you know your purpose, when you know all those things, you're able to not only put that focus that and that purpose out there, but then you can also go and move about in a way that would have you to let other people know, okay, I know what my purpose is on this earth. Now let's go ahead and get this taken care of so that we may be able to do all of the things that the Lord has called us to do. When you know your purpose, you'll be too busy to do things that are outside of God's will. You'll be so focused on making sure that whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do is being done, that there won't be times when you have to focus on, well, I should say there'll be less times when you have to focus on doing the wrong things. There'll be less times when you'll have to say, I got to put all of these things before God because I got bills piling up, or because my children aren't acting right, or because my marriage isn't right. When you focus on your purpose, you have to make sure that you know exactly what that purpose is. And if you don't know what your purpose is, then that's when you have to start seeking out what your purpose is. Just like it said that Jesus read off of the scroll to say what that purpose was from out of Isaiah, we too can find what our purpose is. It's right there in front of us. We just have to seek, and we have to go out and pray, and we have to make sure that we're staying in tune with the Lord so that we know exactly what it is that he's speaking, so we know exactly what it is that he wants us to do. See, Jesus casted out his vision for the reordering of relationships. Good news to the poor, release to the captured, sight to the blind. And he declared God's favor. So he declared that. He said that that's what he had came to do. He came to bring the good news to the poor. When was the last time that you brought good news to the poor? When was the last time that you released the set the captives free? When was the last time you brought sight to the blind? Now, when I say those things, when I say good news to the poor, when was the last time that you told them, when you told the person that might be standing on the corner asking for money, that Jesus still loves them as you're handing them the money? Notice I said as you're handing them the money, because we all should be seeking ways to help out those who are less fortunate. But as you're handing them that money, also give them reassurance that God still loves them despite the circumstances that they might be going through. They need to know the things that we know as Christians. Some may know it and some may choose to ignore it, but it's not our place to say if they know it or not. It's just our place to let them know that God does love them, that Jesus loves them. When we release the ones that are oppressed, the ones that are imprisoned, and the ones that are being held captive by their sin, we can release that by speaking life into their situation, by letting them know that, yeah, your mama and your daddy might have been drunks and alcoholics, and they might be drug addicts, and you might have come from a family of thieves, but that doesn't mean that you have to be enslaved to those things that are of your past. And when we speak life and we start telling other people that they're more than conquerors, and that they can be encouraged through the things that the Bible tells us we can be encouraged through, then that is able to set them free. And then when we bring sight to the blind, I'm not saying that we can't bring physical sight to those who may be blind, because I do believe in miracles. But I'm talking about bringing sight to the blind of those who are spiritually blind, those who can't see the way that we may be able to see. And instead of shunning them and looking down on them during those times when they may be going through something that we just may have left up out of, and we get so holy that we forget that we too used to be hoes. We too used to be running around here doing this and doing that, robbing people, and we too used to be out here acting like we didn't have no sense when we knew good and well that our parents and our grandparents taught us better than that. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm speaking about myself right now, because sometimes I do forget that. I do forget where I came from. I do forget the things that I went through as I was growing up. And I look at some of the generation now, and I'd be like, man. But instead of just saying man and shaking my head and looking down on them, I should be getting out my car when I'm riding past that boy that's walking down the street with his pants down and telling him that there's a better way to carry himself, a better way to present himself, so that people don't look at him and already have a stereotype on him just because he has his pants below his waist. See, that's bringing sight to the blind. That's allowing him to see things better by pointing out the things that he needs to work on in order for him to get wherever it is that he's trying to get to in life. But as long as we as Christians still look down on others and don't offer a lending hand and don't let them know that they too can see the things that we see, then that's when things begin to start getting better for them. And then we notice that Jesus declared God's favor in those scriptures that he's in verse 18, where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." So when we think about connecting with their own, we have to know how to return. We have to know how to go back. We have to know our purpose. And then look at verses 20 and 21. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." No one's scripture is fulfilled. See, Jesus loosens sinners from the bonds of sin, guilt, and corruption. Says it right there in verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." When we hear the good news, we should flee from the sin that corrupts us. Since he says scripture has been fulfilled, we have to be in relation with those oppressed, blind, and in need. We have to proclaim good news to the poor. And that's how we're able to be ready for the things that scripture tells us to be ready for. We have to be ready to go out and tell the poor about the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to be able to tell them about Jesus being able to be the one that they can depend on in their time to lead, in their time of need. We have to let those who are set captive, we have to let them be able to be set free. And he loosens us from, like I said, the sin, the guilt, and the corruption that corrupts our minds, that corrupts our bodies. And when we allow him to enter into our lives and we allow that word that he just said, it is fulfilled, when we allow that to enter into our spirits, then we're able to be set free. We're able to hear the good news that he has to offer. Far too often, we walk around just like those that scripture says. We walk around blind. We walk around and captive to that sin. We walk around with that guilt, and that shouldn't be so. We should be able to be encouraged by these words, so that we may be able to move forward boldly and do everything and anything that the Lord has called us to do. So as I close today, just remember: know how to return, know how to go back, know your purpose, and know when scripture is fulfilled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your revelation in regards to the words that have been spoken. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for those who are listening, Lord, that you be with them on this day, Lord, that you encourage them, that you allow them to be able to move forward and proclaim your news to those that are around them, Lord, your good news, your soul-saving news, Lord. I just ask right now, Lord, that you allow us to be set free from the sin that we have. Allow us to be able to not dwell on that sin, Lord, but move forward in a way that we are able to learn from it, Lord, and that we are able to shed your light on others, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that even as we are preparing to move about throughout the rest of this week, Lord, that you be with us, leading and guiding us in all that we do, so that we may be in your will and that we may know your way. Lord, we thank you, we need you, we love you, and we ask for your continued grace and mercy. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for listening in today. as I went forward and gave you another episode of Embrace Today. My wife, Epre Curry, will be back next week. This is just a thing that every fifth Wednesday of the month, I will be going forth and doing the shows just to give her a little break and so that she's able to kind of focus on some other things that the Lord has also called her to do. Please continue to connect with us weekly. We also have the morning, it's time to pray on Mondays, as well as connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter. I also believe that, we do have a Periscope. If you're not following us on there, do that as well. And be blessed, and just remember to embrace her today.
Thank you for tuning in to Embrace Today. You can further connect with Whole House Ministries by viewing our website at www.wholehouseministries.org, liking Whole House Ministries on Facebook, and following @ApreCurry on Twitter. Be blessed and embrace your today.